Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Hello and welcome to yet another show from the World Series of Poker 2009. We are coming to you from the Dennis Phillips Suite, high atop the Rio, where 21 floors below us, the Amazon Room has been packed every day with people playing pretty much every kind of poker you can think of. And Dennis Phillips and Joe the Poker Coach McGowan and I have been running around like crazy, not only playing poker, but talking to some of the big stars of poker and bringing them to you in recorded interviews, which is what tonight's show is going to be made up of. Tonight, our first guest is going to be Ellie Alezra, who you've seen so many times on high-stakes poker and who plays in the highest-stakes poker game in the world, the one that goes on a regular basis in Bobby's room inside the Bellagio. In fact, we've discovered that Ellie is the guy who organizes that game, gets all the players together, and is also apparently in charge of the Chinese poker game that goes on in the VIP room anytime these players go on a break. So you'll hear firsthand what it's like to live the life of a high-stakes player and play in those games, and you might be staggered by some of the sums of money that these guys play for. We'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. Also tonight, a discussion with Joe, the poker coach, about the art of the chop. There are lots of single-table satellites going on in the Brasilia room here at the World Series of Poker, and when it comes down to the end, it rarely is just one winner. You usually end up chopping it two ways or sometimes three, and you may have run into the same thing when you've played in a home tournament or perhaps in a tournament in one of the casinos like Lumiere Place here in St. Louis. Wherever you've played in a tournament, you'll benefit from Joe's tips on the art of the chop tonight. Also, we send Joe out for another Poker Coach, Poker Pro one-on-one tonight with Phil Hellmuth, the poker brat. Also tonight, another story from Amarillo Slim. Tonight, he's going to tell the story of the legal trouble he found himself in several years ago when he was accused of touching his granddaughter in a way that he shouldn't have. That made him a pariah to some in the poker community. He has only recently been willing to talk about that incident, and in tonight's discussion, you will hear Amarillo Slim being very frank about that legal trouble and his position these days in the poker community. All of that ahead here tonight on the Lumiere Place Final Table. And by the way, we will be here right through the main event with more coverage of the WSOP 2009. And then we'll be back in St. Louis for our regular Tuesday night shows and Tuesday night big game at Lumiere Place in their poker room. That's our favorite place to play in downtown St. Louis. And if you come on a Tuesday night to watch us do the show, you're invited to play in the game with us. Or go over and sit down at one of the blackjack tables or the other table games, play some craps, roulette, or hundreds and hundreds of opportunities for slots as well, plus great eating. It's Lumiere Place right there in downtown St. Louis. We're looking forward to getting back there. It's kind of our home casino for the final table. Even though we're on the road, we take our sponsors with us, and one of our biggest sponsors has always been PokerStars, the website where you can play against Dennis Phillips.
Absolutely. I will log on there anytime I get a chance. Haven't played the last couple of days, but by gosh, I will change that.
That's because you haven't had a chance. You've been so busy.
Well, yeah, that's going to change. But again, the same thing you were talking about with the Sunday Millions, with these others. This is PokerStars. This is the biggest site in the world. This is the biggest one where you can go and you can learn any kind of a game. When I talk about Omaha, I talk about Raz, I talk about any of these mixed games or the horse. You want to get good at it, go online, get your basics, play against other pros, learn how to play this game at a high level. You can do it there. Any kind of a level you want to play, any kind of time, day or night, 24 hours a day, these guys are on there, and you've got tons of competition, tons of ways to learn it. You know, log on, guys, at PokerStars.net.
And by the way, we get email from people sometimes about when I go on PokerStars, how do I know where Dennis is? Right at the top of the screen there,
yep,
there's an option to find a player. You look for D.Phillips.
They've got me hidden real well.
It's not your whole name, Dennis Phillips, but just look for D.Phillips, and you can find out what table he's at, and you'll see that there are plenty of people on the rail watching that table, and that's all available to you on PokerStars as well. We'll be back with more of the Lumiere Place Final Table right after this on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com, and podcast on thechipleader.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
We are in the VIP with Eli Elezra, who is apparently running the big Chinese poker game. Who's playing with you in the VIP these days?
Every big player so far, from Phil Almuth to Jeff Lissandro, Doyle Bronson, Jennifer Harmon, Matt Glantz, Tony Chen, Barry Greenston, Mike Madison, and a few others.
And like in the big game in Bobby's room, you run the thing, don't you?
Yeah, usually everybody calling me to find out if there's a game over in Bobby's room. But over here, everybody coming, and I'm keeping the score. At the end of the World Series, I usually collect online or collect cash and pay to everybody.
How are you doing in the Chinese poker?
So far, I'm up about 50,000.
Nice. Who's the big winner?
Barry Greenson is a big winner. He's winning over 100. And Phil Almuth is a loser, big loser, 50,000. Doyle is a big loser, about 70,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But we just started. We are only up to, 12th event? So we have a lot more to go.
Yeah. It's a long series.
Yeah, but you know, whatever I lost over here is nothing compared to what I lost to Phil Ivey last night. So
what happened? Oh, because he got his bracelet?
Yeah, I lost 400,000 yesterday to Phil. I was sweating him very hard, and he was the shortest stack, and then bailed out, all in. He beat me for 400. I know he beat John Hanson for another 5 because he settled with him. He was over $1 million bet. And overall, I know for effect about $2.5 million he won. I don't know about the rest of the people. It could be other people. So the 96,000 was just chop change compared to what he won.
What was the bet? What were the odds that you had on him?
I think I gave him the highest. He hit it all the way from 2.2, and I had 2.7. I gave him 2.7 to 1, so I had 150 for 405. That's what I lost.
Is there another prop bet for another bracelet?
When I was getting ready to pay, he said he was going to parlay to go all the way. He wanted 4 to 1, but I said, I'm not going to go against God in poker. I decided not to go against him this year. I basically broke even with him. You know, last year I beat him for a little over that. And the year before, I won over $1 million on those bets. So when you lose, you better back down, you know, go underneath the carpet for a little bit until you see that he's not running like God, you know?
Yeah. What are the prop bets on you?
I didn't have any prop bet this year on me. I didn't want to, you know, this kind of field. A lot of people called me before the World Series and said, what kind of line we can get? And the year before, I used to get them all the way from 3 to 1 to 8 to 9 to 1 for some people. But because the structure is completely different, you know, there's 10,000 event, I believe 5,000 event, and the 50 and the 40, there's not many small player can play those games. So I figure only good player will play. And as so far we see it, you know, I mean, the bracelet winner is Phil Ivey. Steve Song is a bracelet winner, which is also play with us in a big game. And the guy that repeat with the Omar Edobede was amazing. He played on my table. You know, I make it deep on this tournament. I came 20. He played the game so good. It's amazing.
Speaking of the big game, is it going on every night?
No. Now, because between Daniel and Phil Ivey and Eric Lindgren and Jeff Lissandro and Barry, everybody got bets on the points, you know. Like I see even Howard Leder put me in his team, and each of them got different teams, right?
Yeah.
So because this point system, everybody's staying here trying to beat the games. And I mean, like now, I'm going to go home. Instead of playing another event, decided to go home and stay with the kids. I believe in the last 6 nights, I stay every day until 3 a.m. over here.
Wow.
Because I make the second day again, and very hard.
How does the big game usually work? I mean, as I said, you're the organizer of it, I understand. Do people call you and say, let's go? Or does somebody say, hey, there's a fish in town? I mean, outside of the series, what's it like?
Outside of the series, I got everybody on my cell, every big players, that they know to call me to get the game organized. Because they know that. So usually Doyle and me are the game starter. If I call Doyle and I say, we need one more person only, you know? So if some, let's say Jennifer say, let's go, and we're starting, usually the game fill up. A lot of people don't like to commit, but when they know that, like you say, I wouldn't say fish, but if Lyle come to town, or if then we get a game going right away. Sam Faha is in town, then we get a game going. Now, again, this period of time, Sammy is there, but everybody's playing here.
Uh-huh.
So, but I believe they'll get tired of it. I believe next week we're going to start playing again.
How often does it happen that somebody that you don't know, who obviously is a whale or thinks they're a big money player, comes to town and wants to play you guys and actually does sit down?
4 months ago, somebody sat down with $100,000 chips, about 15 of them, and said, what the game? Now we were Phil Ivey, David Benjamin, me, Doyle Bronson, and not Barry, but there was who was it there? One more person, and he said, what the game? Now we have all the bunch of games sitting on the table. So he said, what you want to play? I said, I want to play No Limit. So I grab all the games and I put them underneath. So we play No Limit. He pull up, he dropped $700,000 in the first hour. He left, he came back, dropped another $600,000 and left.
And he was done.
We never seen him before, we never know his name. Now, stuff like that happened probably a couple times a year only.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we have people from outside that will come once in a while, either from New York or from Los Angeles. I wouldn't say they're fish, they're just good players, but
yeah.
It's always add up to the game, you know.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but people are so fascinated by this big game in Bobby's room. What do you usually play when it's not some unknown guy, when it's the regulars?
We play always between 8 and 10 games. It's the horse, the No Limit Deuce, the No Limit Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, and the Triple Draw. Sometimes we add up the Ace to 5, sometimes we add up another the Deuce to 7 Raz. Depends if Doyle feel like he said, let's add up this game, let's add up that game. You know, and you know, we'll have once in a while we have Abe coming from New York and Patrick coming, and so every time those guys coming, we get the game going. And it depends if the game, whoever is in the game, we trying to play the 2,000 and 4,000 or 3,000 and 6,000, but sometimes we play higher. You know,
has the recession impacted the big game at all?
I believe so. Not only the recession, I believe the online.
Mm-hmm.
Gus used to play with us on a regular basis. Phil used to play with us and Phil Ivey. Now, because they're playing those 4 games, 500,000, and huge game online, so this game is too small for them. And, you know, you saw the numbers online. The figure is every day $500 million each side. So I believe we lost so much since they have the big game on there. I haven't played with Gus for 2 years now.
Wow.
And he used to love to play with us all the games, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe the recession hurt everybody. It hurt myself too.
Yeah.
You know, cash, you have to have cash all the time, and sometimes when you don't have it, you need to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a businessman, I'm telling you, there's nothing to sell those days, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And you're very successful. How many outlets do you have now in Las Vegas?
I own like 20 stores on the strips, and I own a lot of real estate properties, lands, and some properties. And I mean, I love poker. That's why I don't do everything with my business, transfer everything to my family, and now I'm mostly playing poker.
I was going to say, how can you have time for any of those businesses for these 6 or 7 weeks of the series?
Yeah, the series time, you're right, but I usually have time for my family first, then the business is very important, then poker, but now I find myself, you know, I make sure that I have the free time, you know.
Do you like to travel to other places to play, and do you find
to.
It different there?
I used to. I went to every space, every place that they had poker. I went all the way from Aruba to Monte Carlo. I did it like a couple of years straight. I went to Bahamas, and we went to Australia. And I'm done with those traveling. I mean, with all the respect, you know, there's, first of all, and Dennis will tell you that there are so many good No Limit players. And just think about it. Fly 20 hours to Australia, get into the game. There's 800 players. You're holding your best card, aces or whatever, and a guy call you with a 6-7 suited, and boom, he gets you out of the tournament. You travel all this time, and what you do? Now, if you travel, we used to travel with Chip and Doyle and Lyle, and we used to have a game all the time, so now it's okay. But now all those guys want to play his tournament.
Yeah.
So last few time, I took my wife and, not the kids because they have school, but I took my wife and a couple of them, and then we went to New Zealand, and we went. But it's very, no limit getting so hard, it's just scary. Scary how good the people is around. And, looking at the Tom Duane, what all those internet kids don't understand, that the Tom Duane and the few other, the Boosted Jay and few other good players around, for everyone like that, there's 10,000 disappointed ones. Mm. 10,000 going to the parents and try to get money and start like him with the $20 and $100 bankroll and run it to 20 million or 15 million. There's so many, because of those stories, we won't have any McDonald's workers, we won't have any of those people that like to work for the $6 and $7 an hour because they think that they can make miracle and play poker for a living. Now, I know that, I have my own businesses, and they cut me to pieces in the first few years that I play poker for 10 years. I was just donating and losing. I was the fish. Only in the last few years, I learned a lot. I sit so much with Chip and Doyle and learn. Those guys playing one game, the no limit. No limit tomorrow, you're a star. The next day, this guy is a star. You'll see there's a lot of names we won't see again. They won't come.
Yeah.
The example of Michael Mizrahi, he was, so much out there all the time, and now he's really struggling. That's mean that everybody got the skill now. Now you really have to get lucky.
So what do you say to some 22-year-old kid who's out of college and he's been playing online for a few years and he thinks he can be a poker pro? I don't want to go get a real job right out of college. I'm going to turn professional. I'm going to play poker for a living. What do you tell that kid?
This is a heck of a question. I would tell someone to go ahead and have a job, even a job that paid the $60,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 a year, and establish yourself good enough and do the poker as a... not as a professional level, just do it as a hobby, and only if you hit a big one. But you always have to have in your back something to back you up. Mm-hmm. Some people got the mom and pop that can go for them, but the other people won't. And then they'll have to go struggle and walk around. And Dennis over here, right? You work in as a CPA in a truck business?
Oh, he's a truck salesman.
Truck salesman? Come on. This is what I'm calling the hard worker in this country.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, look at that. He wasn't poker all his life. He didn't play poker all your life.
Enjoy the hell out of it, but it's still a hobby.
That's what's beautiful. That's why you're so smart. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You put it aside, and when you know that there's no many Chip and Dole Bronson, and you won't find those people around. It's very hard to make this kind of money, so... and there's no many full tilt people that getting so much money from them, So my point is, you have to always have backup. If you don't have backup, and you are not Phil Ivey, Patrick Antonio, and again, we can name 20 of them only, then you're in trouble.
All right, one more question, then I'm going to let you go. We know poker is huge in America, and we know it's huge in Europe. It's beginning to get big in Asia and Latin America. How about back in Israel?
You wouldn't believe it, but I just came for a month in Israel. I'm like a superstar over there. Why? Because they finally bought the high-stakes poker. And they are on the third season. And, I was in five seasons. And every season they invite me, and I did good in every season. So, first of all, they know everybody. They know the Barry Greenstein and the David Benjamin and the Daniel Negreanu. They love those guys over there. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. Everybody, they have a lot of kids that playing at night, for $20 or for, each of them just to have fun. I would say it's better than drinking. If I see my son go out drinking tomorrow and partying versus playing poker, I would tell him, play poker first, But it's everything in proportion. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, playing poker and driving, you're not going to die.
Exactly. Good
point. Ellie, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it.
A quick reminder that we also podcast this show on thechipleader.com. And if you go there, you'll also find links to all of our terrific sponsors, including PokerStars.
PokerStars, that's the site that I love. If you want to go on there and play poker and you want to learn, you want to know all these different games, this is the site to go. PokerStars.net. go on it, learn it, and then join me in Vegas. I will be playing on that site a lot. You can catch me anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the largest site in the world and the best site in the world. Again, PokerStars.net. Go on there, join me, and then let's go to Vegas. How's that sound?
That sounds pretty good.
All right,
they're
cool.
They're giving away hundreds or more?
Hundreds. No, actually, it will be, by the time they get done, probably in the thousands.
Thousands of seats to the main event.
Yeah. I think they've already topped 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And still time to go.
And a ton of them still going on.
PokerStars.net, proud sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table. We'll be right back.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
It's Poker on Your Radio. This is the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS. Now, here are two guys giving off reverse tells and trying to take your stack, Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris.
And we're back at the Lumiere Place Final Table, not in St. Louis, but in Las Vegas, in the Dennis Phillips Suite high atop the Rio at the 2009 World Series of Poker, joined now by the poker coach, Joe McGowan, who was with me a couple of nights ago in the Brasilia room here at the Rio, which is right down the hall from the Amazon room where all the big tournaments are going on. The Brasilia room hosts some overflow from those tournaments, but also pretty much all day long, from 9 in the morning until 2 in the morning, is hosting single-table satellites where you can buy in for $100, $200, $300, all the way up to $1,000, and you play for tournament chips and some cash as well. Most of these single-table satellites, Joe, do not play down to one final player. I mean, one winner is awarded the prize, but usually when you get down to the last two, those people agree to chop whatever amount is in there. And the same thing, of course, goes on in tournaments all over the world. You have played a lot of these, so give me some perspective from the poker coach perspective on the art of the chop.
Sure. Well, you know, a lot of the big tournaments today actually don't allow you to chop. They want to have a clear-cut winner. So a big, big tournament like the World Series, Dennis couldn't have worked out a deal to, you know, to chop. But
he couldn't say to Peter and Yvonne, you know, before we go on with the ESPN telecast here, you guys want to work on a percentage deal?
Right. You know, back in the day, though, believe it or not, big tournaments, they did.
Yeah. I know the WPT specifically says you cannot
chop because people wanted to chop. The players wanted to chop. But chopping is incredibly, you know, done all the time in stuff like these little sit-and-goes, single tables, $30 buy-in tournaments, $100 buy-in tournaments, and it's a really important thing that happens. I think for me, with the chop, you don't want to be the first person to bring it up. As funny as it sounds to me, that shows a little bit of weakness. Like, you know, you're maybe a little intimidated with the players or you want to bank away some money. I try to never be the first person to bring it up, but I always love to listen to what the deal is. Sometimes people will just give it away and give such a great deal that you can't possibly refuse. What I try to do, and this is a little bit bad, but I'm trying to do this as a living, you know, whatever their first offer is, you know, just normal negotiation, unless it's just so crazy that I can't refuse it, you know, I usually try to add at least something to it. You know, with the situation they have here, if you play in a $1,000 single table sit and go and the winner gets $10,000, there's a little bit of cash, as you mentioned, that goes with it. It's $1,030, so you
the buy-in's $1,030.
$1,030, so it's like $300 extra. The house is going to get $150 to pay the dealer, and the house makes a little bit of money, which is a great deal. I mean, because these usually last, the thousands usually last about 4 hours here at the World Series. So if to get down to one or two to work a deal. So there's some play in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy at the end.
But that's a 1.5% rake. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. The other good thing is the players do these last longers. You know, in a typical 1,000, it's usually a minimum $300 a piece. You get eight players. You know, $300 a piece, no juice. Many, many times you'll have a situation where a guy will say, hey, anybody want to do a $1,000 heads up? Last longer. And again, no juice. A lot of the players and a lot of the casinos are trying to smarten up a little bit because players will play like a smaller, you know,
buy-in
and then do like a huge last longer.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't work great because you get less chips and the blinds go up sometimes a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
But just for our listeners, if they do come out here, or even just in general, the 65, which is the smallest one they have here, $65 a piece, the house gets $100. So that's a pretty big percentage to the $65.
So 65, 10 players at the table, there's $650 in prize money.
Right.
The winner gets a
$500
chip and $50 in cash.
$50 in cash.
And the house keeps $100.
$100. And it's a lot shorter than the 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to pay the dealer. But it's a lot. It doesn't take as long. It goes quicker because you get less chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 1,000, you get 5,000 in chips, and I think the 65. I don't know what you get. We did play one for fun with five of us as friends after dinner the other night. I can't remember what you get. Maybe 1,200 or 1,500 or 1,000 in chips, something like that. But it's not much, and it goes pretty quick.
Right.
But we've talked about that on previous shows with the rake, and you're playing 1-2, and how expensive it is with the tips and everything else, and it does get pretty pricey. But those people a lot of times play for fun. But there are some, you know, that might be a big event for somebody. You know, sometimes my wife will come play. She loves poker. That $165 deal, that's, you know, that's her big week's deal of poker. So back with the chop deal.
Yeah. You say that the other person should be the one who proposes it. You may be sitting there and thinking to yourself, you know, we're down to three players, and I'm kind of, I got like 20% of the chips here. This guy over here has 30%, and the other guy has 50% of the chips.
Right.
At that point, do you want to say, you know, I'm open to a chop if you guys want to do it, kind of in a joking way?
Well, you might say, I would say that at that point, if it looks like no one's going to say anything, guys, I'm open to talk reasonably if somebody wants to make an offer. If you guys don't, I'm happy to play it out. But if someone wants to suggest something, you know, to some type of deal, I'm usually pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, I'm not.
Yeah.
I want to get the best deal possible for me. That's poker. I did just play one a couple nights ago. I do like the thousands is my choice one to play. One of the players had 26,000 in chips. You start with 5,000 apiece.
So there's 50,000 total. So this guy's got a little bit more than half of all the chips.
Correct. And I had about 12, and the other guy has about 12. And no, he really wanted to chop, the guy that was the chip leader. And he says, listen, I'll give you guys a great deal. And I said, oh, well, you know, what do you propose? And he says, I'll take 4,000. You guys get 3,000 apiece. And you guys can keep the extra cash.
Now, he's got 50% of the chips, and you each have 25% of the chips. And here he's offering you almost a three-way split.
Correct. And lock it up. So I kind of look at the other guy, and he says, I'd love to do that. So I didn't want to kind of ruin the deal. So I'm like, oh, it, you know, it seems fair. Let's go ahead and do it. I don't want to jump up and down and be like, oh, great deal. And then have the guy, wait a minute, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I hesitate.
Boy, if you offer us a deal like that, you're a real sucker. You're saying don't say that.
Right.
Good tip.
Don't do that. Act like you got to bend your arm a little bit. Well, all right, you know, why not if it's that good of a deal? And he gave us the cash, so it's like I can't even try to do my normal, well, you tip the dealer and we get the cash, or I get the cash to make it a little tougher. It was a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
If I was him, I would have proposed, how about we do some type of save where I'm the big chip leader. I get 5,000 guaranteed. You guys get 1,000 guaranteed, and we'll play for the remaining three. So someone's going to win there. That way, you know, I might win eight, but I guarantee myself five.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a good, I think this is a bad deal for them, but you know, they, I try to convince them they get their buy-in back and they're on a free roll for an extra three.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will go for that, but no matter what happens to me, one guy doubles up through me, right? And I lose my 12 and he wins his 12. He's got 24 and I'm down to, what is that, 14 or
yeah.
You know, now I'm in big trouble. I could come in third, you know, and lose. So the, that's the best one, is that type of situation in these single tables. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of places will do it by the chip count, which is pretty fair and usually, to me, favors the higher stack players. player. They do it by the chips. Like at the Bellagio, they have a calculated way where they can do it by chips, not in the big, big, huge events. But some of the smaller, like $1,000 events or the daily Bellagios, they have a computerized deal where they can just do it by chips and tells you what the fair chop is. And that's, you know, usually actually a pretty fair way to do it. I do think, you know, a lot of people leave a lot of money on the table in this chop deal. And I do think, as you said, Paul, it's an art to the chop. So if you get yourself in those situations, if you're playing here at the Rio in the World Series, if you're playing in your $30, you know, casino at home, wherever you live, and when it gets down to that situation and you find yourself there, you really want to think in advance of what's fair. General way of thinking, if you have 50% of the chips, whether there's 10 people left or 3 people left, you have a 50% chance, all things being equal, of playing ability, of winning the tournament. That's the general way of thinking. So, you know, whether, like I said, it's the full table of 9 people left, you have 50% of the chips, you know, that's the same deal as, like I just said, 3.
Right.
So, you
know, okay. All right. So, and this applies to not just single tables, but multi-table tournaments. Somebody plays a local tournament for 3, 4, 5 tables. You know, you got 30, 40, 50 people in there. It still is going to come down to the final table and the final 2, the final 3, whatever it may be. Do you, at a certain point, say, you know what, I don't want to chop 3 ways? I mean, maybe you're the chip leader, or maybe you're the second chip leader of the 3, and there's a guy who's, he's short stacked, obviously, of the 3 of you. Do you say, you know what, let's play this down to 2, and then I'll be more than happy to talk?
I'm really glad you just asked me that, because what I like to do, if I'm in that spot and I'm like, wow, I have like 3 knockout tells on this guy that's the chip leader. And, you know, he's a slight chip leader over me. So I'm not in desperation mode yet. And the blinds and antes haven't gone up in a lot of these single tables here at the Rio. There are no antes. But the blinds aren't such where I'm getting desperate and it's all in poker. There's still room to see some flops and you can even still limp, which doesn't happen a lot in these, to be honest. Sometimes it does kind of at the end become more all in poker. But hypothetically, because it might be a different tournament or a $30 buy-in or a different casino that you're playing in, if I have that player, as I call, on lockdown when he's weak and when he's strong and I have a few good things, and I have 1 or 2 good things on the other player, I don't want to make any deal. I got a great chance. You know, I feel like I'm by far the better player. If I feel like I can't pick up anything on this guy, you know, and this is a wild internet player, and I don't know if he has Jack 4 and he's outplaying me, or, you know, I just can't tell, and the other player is a really good player and he's willing to do a deal, I need to get out of this. You know, I'm going to go ahead and try to work something out here and see if these guys will do something with me. So that's pretty much what helps me decide whether I want to go for it, not chop, chop. And then, of course, when you chop, you try to figure out all these different things, just like a poker hand. You try to add it all up and try to make the best decision for you.
Right. I've been in situations. I played one in Tulsa a little over a year ago where I was way the chip leader when we got to the final 2 tables. And then I kind of went card dead for a little while, and other people started chipping up. The smaller stacks were giving their money to other players at my table, and they're coming up. And, you know, I've got I start at the table with 120,000, and the next person has 70,000. Well, after a few rounds, I've got 120,000, or maybe now I'm down to 115, and somebody else has come up to 80, and somebody else has maybe come up to 90. So the margins are getting closer and closer. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I know that even though you're the chip leader with 15 people to go, it's very easy to end up out of the money here.
Without any question. I mean, there's no doubt you could end up out of the money. And really, too, your personal situation, you might think, oh, I've been running horrible lately. Or, you know, just for my own peace of mind, I want to book a nice win. You know, I haven't been, you know, taking a lot of money. I've just been running bad.
Or I just flew in today. I played all day and all night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired.
Exactly.
I just want to go to bed.
Perfect.
If you guys will give me an 11th of the money with 11 players here, I'll take it. You know, whatever.
Right. Whatever the deal is, that's right. Buy the chips.
Right.
Which might be, you know, maybe a little bit more than that, but,
yeah,
you know, could be.
Yeah. When you're chopping with somebody, should you take into account the taxes that you might have to pay on whatever you win? Because a certain amount, casinos are going to report to the IRS.
Well, that was the absolute beautiful thing about the chop that we were just talking about with me here at the Rio and the $1,000 buy-in. It's $10,000 for first. When he said, I'll take $4,000, you guys get 3 each, he signed in the paperwork. So not only do we get the $3,000 when we have short chips and we get to keep the cash, he's going to put his signature on it. He's going to give his license. He has the tax.
Because the casino has nothing to do with the chop. They pay the winner
Correct.
What all of the winnings are, and then the winner's responsibility is to give you what your share of that chop would be.
Right.
But as far as the casino's concerned, that guy won $10,150, and that's going to get reported to the IRS.
And as far as the IRS is concerned, and it's all over, and you walk away, and you're done.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great part of the chop if you can get one of the other people to sign off the tax. And sometimes you can be the chip leader of it. And even if you're going to get 50% of it, you say, hey, give me, if the whole deal's $10,000, you say, give me $5,000. You take two, you take three.
Mm-hmm.
But one of you two, because I have a lot of, you know, poker winnings or different things that I'm already on the hook for, and I've only played in so many events, I only have so many write-offs to make the deal. If one of you guys don't have much, please sign it. And one of the guys might say, well, I don't care. I got tons of losings. I'll do it.
That's exactly what happened in that Tulsa tournament I was talking about. You know, I was the chip leader, and everybody was talking about a chop, and we came up with a good equitable chop, and I said, you know what? I'm the chip leader here, so I am going to ask somebody else to sign for this and say that you came in first place and you came in second place, because those two amounts were going to be over the threshold for reporting to the IRS, which, of course, meant when the official breakdown, the printout of who won the tournament came out the next day, I was like in 11th place. I didn't care because I was the 11th person to sign the paper, and it was under a certain amount. And a friend of mine came up to me and said, you were so way the chip leader. How did you end up 11th? I said, because we chopped and I didn't want to pay the taxes. So that's exactly got to be part of it.
The only obvious time where, you know, you wouldn't want to do that if there's something prestigious to it, or if there's obviously a bracelet or, you know, something where it's going to help your resume, or there's something real there where it's important to actually for you to get the win.
For your name to be in the number one spot.
For your name to be in the number one spot.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can negotiate that when you're, you know, way back when I played heads up with Nam Lee once at the Hustler Casino before he got famous, and I never got famous. And it was one of my first.
Wait a second. Who is the poker coach and who is not the poker coach?
Okay. It was a $300 event with rebuys, and like the average thing, it ended up being like, I don't know, $900 average per player. I don't know how many people played in it. It might have been 400 people or something. And he wanted that trophy. He wanted that desperately. And it was a crazy long battle of like, I think it was like 10, 11. We played till the sun came up and passed.
Wow.
And my wife and a friend of mine were waiting for me. He wanted that title no matter what. And it went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, he got the title. And cash-wise, on record, it shows I got a little less than what I actually got. And once he took the chip lead from me, I said, okay, let's just do this.
And he was willing to give up some of the cash of the chop in order to get the title and the trophy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And at the time, for me, I preferred the cash.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, you know, and he was the chip leader anyway, but he gave me a little bit better of a deal cash-wise because he didn't care as much about the cash. I mean, it was like I ended up getting like $42,000 or something.
That sort of thing can count when it comes to endorsements.
Right, and I think that's what he was thinking, and since then he's won tons of stuff. And to be fair, he's played, you know, I don't know how many more events than I've played. And also going back to the one that I just played in, what was interesting, you know, the player that wanted a chop that had the most amount of chips, and the other two of us had the 12,000 approximately apiece. The cards were already dealt, and we said, okay, let's not look at our cards and let's try to work this out. So I have the cards under my hand.
Yep.
And did nobody look? Nobody looked. So the guy that was first to act, and it's all over. We made the deal. He rolls over seven deuce, which is truly what he had.
Mm-hmm.
I had ace jack, and the other guy that was chip leader had ace nine. So you would figure, you know, I can't remember who was the button, unfortunately, but it probably would have been raised and called. It could have gone crazy. I don't think I would have, at that point, went crazy with the ace check, but I think it would have been raised and called at a minimum. Flop came out, and then we checked the flop. You know, we reached in, it was over. So we reached in to check the flop. Was ace 9-9.
Wow.
And he flops the full house, and in a single table with the pre-flop, and you don't have a lot of chips in the blinds, you're not back. I hate to say it, but I really think I would have been broke the very next hand.
Wow.
So in that case, and I usually lean more towards not chopping, to be honest. You know, I know like Daniel Negreanu has a non-chopping policy, and he feels like he's the best player, and he is. So, you know, why would he try to give away a piece and give someone, you know, a chance and kind of make it a routine fair situation when you're by far the dominant player?
So I think the biggest lesson for our listeners today is not only learn the art of the chop, but also make the deal right before the hand where you're going to go broke.
If you can. That's where, hey, I complain sometimes about running bad and all that, but that was a great one for me.
Joe McGowan, the poker coach, here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Reactor Watches. This is the watch that I wear, guys. If you see me on the final table, I guarantee on my wrist will be a Reactor Watch on that. They have, right now, a huge, huge display over here at the Venetian Casino. It's a nationwide showing of all the premier jewelry watches that you can find. Theirs is a blowaway display. You ought to go over there. It's all sorts of styles, men's, women's, whatever it is, a huge display, and they'll do it. They are known for their durability. They're known for their reliability. On that rare occasion, too, when one of their watches has a problem, they will repair it ASAP. It's not one of these 6-8 weeks you did the watch mailed off and you never see it back. This is the watch that is worn by pro athletes all around everywhere. Albert wears one. I can name you a dozen more. Reactor Watches, an awesome watch. I love it. I wear it all the time on that thing. Reactor Watches, happy to have them as sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Paul Harris and St. Louis's own poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome back to the show. One of the pleasures that we've had here in Las Vegas is the honor of talking with Amarillo Slim, one of the great poker players and gamblers of all time. He won a main event himself. He's in the Poker Hall of Fame. And when he was here in the Dennis Phillips suite, we turned the attention to a kind of ugly episode from his life from just a few years ago. Now, I want to finish, and I hope you don't mind if we touch on this a little bit.
Okay.
But we had Nolan Dalla on the show a few weeks ago.
All right.
And it was shortly after he did the interview with you that appeared on PokerListings.com. I know he spent some time with you out at your ranch and talked about the ugly incident of a few years ago. And yeah. I don't want to rehash all of that.
That doesn't bother me. I'm finally coming out and telling it.
Well, I'm
I did all that. Everything I did on that was to protect my family.
But my question is, how are you with the family now?
They've done a 360. Everything's okay. That baby, I'll use the word baby instead of victim. There was no victim.
Mm-hmm.
There was none.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? She's been in my lap 700 times prior and after that. So it was turned over to CPS in Fort Worth, and they did an investigation and called me and told me, everything's fine. We found out this is just a little girl talking.
So everything's okay and the family's okay?
Yes.
And how is the poker community towards you these days? I know you got a rousing ovation when you were introduced at the Champions Invitational.
Yeah.
But in private now, I'm sure Doyle has stuck by your side. But how's the rest of the poker community treat you?
I don't know, because not one of them's got the guts of an earthworm. There's not one son of a bitch in one of them. I don't care how badass he is that's ever said anything to me.
Mm.
You'd think sooner or later during the course of playing, I'm open with this now.
Yeah.
If you noticed, I never said a word for, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I did what I did to keep some sharp-ass lawyer from quizzing my ex-wife and my grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's regrettable, but then some outfit put on a blog or whatever you call it and said a couple of words. It's never been in... It's not on any indictment or any clause or anything, and I hope y'all own them because it saved me a long trip. Because mm-hmm. I am going to rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot call a man what they call me that you don't even know. I still can't say the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to show, because I'll tell you, a portion of I took 2 years. I was told I'd get a 1 year's probation if I'd plead guilty to it. It's like a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a felony.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major. It's a minor.
A misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor, yeah. And I said okay. So they told me I'd have a year's probation. I was content with it. When we got to the courthouse, they made it 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was one count, and they found out who it was and all this. Well, then there was four. So that's all right. They're still sweating, and I'm still betting. So that's brutal. But you would have thought, and I would have too, that sooner or later, sometime, it would come up during a poker game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some guys say, well, Slim, are you dating babies? Listen, one of the conditions of my probation was that I had to pay for the counseling for that. It's my granddaughter.
Yeah.
I said, okay, you know how many payments I paid? None.
She didn't need it.
Yeah. She didn't ever go get one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that had happened, no plea to you. You know, everybody in the penitentiary didn't do it. You
right.
know, every one of them's innocent. But in my own mind, I know I am, you know.
Yeah.
And the incident occurred in the front seat of my pickup, and I've got four little girls in there. Now, that's crowded.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a hell of a saying to have some indecent thing happen in there. Was at my ranch, and it started raining, and I said, well, we better get out of here before we get stuck. So four-wheel drive things down in the floorboard right here, and one of my little grandbabies, the one that was there, had her leg plumb over here on mine because there was five of us in the cab of a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how she got assaulted?
Not going to happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
So when I put it in four-wheel drive, that's on the floorboard right there, well, I went right across her lap, and I said, oh, I bet that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the extent sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a district attorney that was trying to get a judgeship. He grabbed hold of it. Some jack-off writer here in this town that works for the Review Journal. I wish that old man's still around and on the sun. I could have straightened that out in 3 minutes.
Well, I just want to say before Dennis goes on to the next thing, having played with you at the Wynn a couple of years ago, as I mentioned,
yeah.
and sitting there with you with poker players,
yeah.
I don't know about the poker community at large, but everybody at that table was so happy to be spending time with you.
I get that. I can't imagine. Now, what you said a while ago has got a lot of logic to it, that some sharp sumbitch or some drunk didn't say something to me.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. And I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not, but Doyle has come out and said a couple of things concerning this.
I heard about it.
He is on your side 100%. If I can just do it right here. He says, I spent 10 years traveling and playing poker with Slim and never saw one thing that I saw was wrong. Poker owes Slim a lot, and he should be recognized for that. Now, I don't know how many years I've got left, but I'd bet double or nothing on Slim.
Yeah.
He'd bet every quarter he's got because he knows. See, he knows what I know.
Absolutely.
And I don't duck, and I know we had one guy that might have had some problems. If I'd have been him, I'd have come to this. There's somebody else involved that they said was something, but I was going to come. And let me tell you, it took a whole army to get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you know, my compliments and hats off to you for protecting your family.
Well, that's what I said.
Going the route that you did.
Yes.
A better person. I mean, that's wonderful.
That's better than if, that's better than if it hadn't been nothing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything, you understand?
Right.
And my wife, they rehearsed her what to say in front of the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had, I don't know whether she had the agreement. She had the agreement with the district attorney. Then after she started her testimony, at the end of it, she was going to tell my side of it. They let her do all of that, and they cut her off when she started to tell my side.
Mm.
Now, I know grand jury proceedings are confidential.
Yeah.
I knew what was going on every 3 minutes in there.
That's Amarillo Slim here at the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris. We'll come back with the Poker Coach one-on-one with poker star Phil Hellmuth right after this on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Now, taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome back to the Dennis Phillips Suite high above Las Vegas at the Rio All Suites Hotel, the home of the 2009 World Series of Poker. I'm Paul Harris. Dennis Phillips and Joe McGowan are downstairs now in the Amazon room where they've been spending so much of their time playing in so many tournaments over the course of the last month and leading up to the main event, which begins this Friday, July 3rd. There will be four day ones this year. They're expecting a total of over 7,000 players. There was, of course, a question about whether the economy would cut back on the number of people who would play in the main event. But based on the turnout they've had for all of the events this year, from the $1,000 stimulus special on the first weekend to every other event they've had, they've been breaking records, even selling out some of the events. All of that goes on in the Amazon room. And when you play in an event down there, you never know who you're going to sit down with. Could be people you've never seen or heard of before, some from countries you may not even be familiar with. And every once in a while, you sit down at the table and look over, and there is somebody you know. Joe McGowan runs into that situation fairly often, and because he's got his digital recorder with him in his pocket, when he runs into a big name of poker, he grabs him and takes him aside and asks him to talk for a few minutes for the Lumiere Place final table. Here's another instance of one of those interviews. This was not during a break. This was actually while the game was going on. Joe pulled aside the poker brat.
I'm here in the 5K event with Phil Hellmuth. Phil is sitting three seats to my left. And a lot of people don't know that you were very much in the Player of the Year race when Jeff Mattson won it. And that came down to the final bell. Tell me a little bit about what happened and how he ended up nipping you at the wire.
Well, in the very last event, all the events counted for bracelets, and it was most money won in a bunch of different events. But it wasn't defined very well. So in the very last event, I was going for my 11th bracelet. I made it down to the final table, and I passed him in the race. And so the press announced I'd won Player of the Year. And the World Series of Poker made a ruling, and they gave it to him. But, I mean, you know, I did win more money. But look, that sounds like sour grapes. Madsen's a great kid, and he had a better tournament than me. He had two firsts and two thirds. I did have a first, a second, a third, a fifth, and a 13th. But, you know, he had a better tournament, two firsts and two thirds, so no problem.
It's funny. I'm a player from a golf background. I feel like, really, the rules are the rules, and that's what you should go by. But I do like your attitude that you feel that way, that he won it, you know, fair and square, and you're fair with that. What do you think about all these younger players coming in with raises, with jack nines and eight tens, and playing all these crazy hands and calling raises and four betting with these crazy hands? What's your take on that?
They make it so easy on me every day. I mean, you know, I was never all in. And 2 days last night, I played all day from noon until 2 in the morning. I played the next day from 2 until 3 in the morning, and I finished 28th. We only had six hands left in the night. But I was never all in one time because they play so bad that they just pump me up and give me free chips. They're raising and re-raising. I slide in there with ace-king or queens or aces or something, and I just pick up all these extra chips because of it.
What do you think this year about that rule that was out there about not talking and revealing your hand in any way and trying to extract information? And did that rule change? I think it was even called the Jamie Gold rule. Are you familiar with that at all? Is that more...
Not really familiar with that rule. I mean, I know that they instituted like a Phil Hellmuth rule this year, but that's what the press calls it. But yeah, I think that's good for poker. I mean, I don't think that I should... I don't like getting personal with people. I shouldn't get personal with people. It is very entertaining.
It is very entertaining.
So ESPN and the commissioner of the World Series of Poker have a problem because it's good for ratings. But yeah, I don't want to be that way. And so, you know, this year I haven't been out of line once because I need to, you know, I need to play better. Let's get a plug in. Ask me about my book, Deal Me In.
Okay, Phil, you have a
only
book coming.
Only available at PokerBrat.com. So.
Okay, very good. You have a book coming out, and what is the name of it?
It's called Deal Me In.
And tell me, how can people get that book? Is that something they get online? Do they get it at the bookstore? Or are you going to be doing a book signing somewhere?
It's only available at PokerBrat.com. It's the story of the top 20 poker players in the world. And some of the stories are shocking. I mean, they're all inspirational. You learn a ton about how they became professional players. There's no strategy, although you learn a ton about. Every one of them talks about money management, how they manage their money. I'm impressed with Ivy's discipline when I read his chapter because I didn't realize he had so much discipline and such a work ethic. I mean, he worked hard. So I say, wow, when I look at, you know, what Phil Ivey had such discipline and work ethic. That's amazing to me. You look at, you know, Doyle's story. He talks about coming up in Texas. You look at Durr's story, Tom Dwan's story. You know, how he accidentally, his story's very entertaining. Alan Cunningham's, Chan's story is amazing. Came to Vegas when he was 16. They didn't check his ID because, as he said, money was an ID then. The stories are amazing, and I'm really proud of the book.
That's great.
I think it's going to sell tons.
Absolutely. I'd be excited to read that. You give me a signed autograph when it comes out
on
the
it.
Book?
You got
right,
it.
Buddy. Best of luck.
Com.
Thank you very much, Phil.
This portion of tonight's show is brought to you by the PPA, the Poker Players Alliance. They're here at the WSOP 2009, signing up people from all over the world to fight for the rights of poker players both online and offline. Poker players just like you. And you don't have to be here in Las Vegas to join the PPA. All you have to do is go to their website, ppa.org, pokerplayersalliance.org. We've got lots of people here who've been walking up to Brian Spadaro from the PPA and saying, I want to join. I want to help convince Congress to go along with Barney Frank's bill that will be introduced later on this summer. Help make poker legal everywhere in every form in the United States. It can only happen through lobbying action, for which the PPA needs help, and they need members like you. Just $20 to join. Go to the website ppa.org and become a poker playing member of the Poker Players Alliance, one of the proud sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table here on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. We'll see you next Tuesday night with more from Las Vegas and from St. Louis. And don't forget, you can download our podcasts on thechipleader.com.